house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Good to see everybody here. Thank the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. And I'm going to read a few scriptures here tonight. I want to welcome Brother and Sister Williams. My mother and father-in-law is new residents of Missouri. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, amen. It's good to have them here. Good to have them here. And they're going to be moving in and all of that here over the next few days. So, it's exciting. Exciting. Amen. I've got some more relatives we're going to work on next. We're going to... Amen. We'll take people from Texas and from California and Arkansas. I don't know. No. Brother Croy, he was from Arkansas. We'll take them. Amen. Oh, I tell you what. I'm thankful. One of our leaders texted me this week or emailed me or something and said, it feels like, along with the new people, God is sending us people from other areas of the country as well, in order to help take care of all these new people that are coming. There's work to be done. Work to be done in Springfield. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 13. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. When he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Today I want to preach to you on this thought: the things that will never be. The things that will never be. Some things will never be. It's not that they shouldn't be. It's not that it's not God's will for them to be. There's just some things that will never be. Dear Lord, we thank you for your presence and your power. We thank you for the worship that is here tonight. We thank you, God, for the miracles that we're believing are in this place tonight. I pray that your will be done in every life and heart. I pray that you'd encourage us, strengthen us, Lord, challenge us, increase our faith. Help us to leave here believing, God, that you can do anything and that you will do it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Children are such a joy. Children are such a joy. Amen. Sometimes they're a lot of work, but they can provide such joy and such a blessing to a family. And I want to tell you, some of the best times that I have had has been together with my wife and our children. That's been some of the best times. Some of the most stressful times as well, but especially on family road trips. But it's some of the best times. Some of the best times. Amen. And you make memories together, and you know, some of your best memories probably with your family, maybe some of your worst memories too. But it's just kind of how it is, you know. And but children, they're such a joy and blessing. Children can say some of the most interesting things. You know, they don't know that you're not supposed to tell all the family secrets. And so, you know, if you can get somebody's child alone and, or, you know, catch them in the foyer or something, say, well, how, and then they'll just start talking. They'll tell you everything they know, you know. they just blurt it all out. But, you know, if you really want to know the truth about something, ask a child. You know, wives, don't ask your husband how that makes you look. Does this make me look thin? Does this make me look not so thin? Don't ask your husband. I'm going to tell you what, you just don't know. Ask a child. They'll tell you. How does my hair look? How does this look? They'll tell you what they think. They just blurt it out. Out of the mouth of babes. I can remember a few years ago when our youngest, he's downstairs right now, but he was quite a bit younger, and we went to eat at this Mexican restaurant. By the way, can I talk a little bit about Mexican food for just a minute? For all of you people that are from Springfield, I feel so sorry for you. I feel so sorry because you just don't know good Mexican food. And you know, I had so many recommendations when we moved here. Oh, you've got to go try this Mexican food place. You've got to. And we went to 33 Mexican food places in the first week or something like that. I don't know. And didn't like any of them. And for all of you that have never had real good, there's two types of Mexican food I like. That's authentic Mexican food, and I like Tex-Mex. And Tex-Mex is, that's pretty good. So that's not where I'm going, but I'm getting hungry tonight. Is it Taco Tuesday? Oh, no, it's okay, Taco Wednesday or something, I don't know. I gotta stay focused here. So anyway, we go to this Mexican restaurant. It's called Casa Ole, and it's in Texas. And it's a chain restaurant. But we went to this particular one, and we get there, and it was kind of later at night. It was in a mall, and so things were kind of shutting down, and it wasn't real busy at all. And so they sit us in this table, and if I remember right, it was kind of like a round booth, and all of us are sitting around the table there, our family looking at one another. And we had this waiter. Do you remember what his name was? Hawk. And Hawk was an excellent waiter. I'm telling you, that guy was fast. He was on top of things. And he came, and I mean, we just barely sat down. And there Hawk is, and he's like, I'm so sorry about your wait. Folks, I'm going to make it right. And we're going to take care of you, and y'all are going to enjoy it. So sorry you had to wait. And we, like, literally had just sat down. And so, you know, we thought, okay, well, he's really on top of things. And so so we ordered our drinks. And I'm telling you, no sooner than just we had ordered them, there he was getting our drinks back. And so sorry about your wait, folks. And I'm sorry you've had to wait for so long. And it was over and over again. Every time he'd go to get something, he was back so fast. He was a great waiter, but for some reason he thought that he was slow or something in getting our food back. And so every time he came, he said, so sorry about your wait, folks. And we started laughing. And you know when you laugh and you're not really supposed to be laughing, can you tell this story better than me? Mom can tell it better. So we get to laughing, and every time he comes back, we're trying to keep a straight face, but he says, so sorry about your weight, and we start cracking up and giggling. And it gets so bad that he comes, and he notices that we're laughing. Well, all of a sudden, he says, so what are you laughing about? And somebody said, oh, nothing, just something funny, you know. And Colt says, no, they're not. They're laughing at you. And right then, I had my back to him, so I just like, and I don't know what my wife said or something, but, you know, kids will just, they'll just say it, and they'll get you every time. Have you ever been telling a story, you parents and your kids here, you tell them the story, and they're like, no, that's not how it happened. That's not what happened. Why do kids do stuff like that? It's because that's the way they think. Young children learn to become concrete thinkers first. They become concrete thinkers first. babies and toddlers, they're all about the here and the now, what's in front of them at the moment. They take a thing for what they can see and what they can hear and what is right there. That you tell them, I'm going to steal your nose, and they believe you. You know, and they get upset when you steal their nose. And I caught one of our church kids the other day. I'm not going to say which one it was, but he was terrorizing another one of the church kids and telling them that there was a snake in one of those closets downstairs in the classroom. And that poor little sweet girl was taking it. She really thought she was terrified that there was a snake downstairs. Because I don't know how it got started, but she just, what you told her, that she thought that's what it was. And so children learn to be very concrete thinkers. As children grow, so do their way of thinking grows, and they start to think of objects that are not in front of them at the time. And then abstract thinking develops. They learn about people's emotions and how sometimes emotions, it's not just what you see in front of you. There's a whole lot else going on behind the scenes, emotions, and that can be very complex at times. And then they learn to read, and they learn about metaphors, and they learn about philosophy and math and other concepts that require them to be an abstract thinker. They learn to read body language and nonverbal clues, nonverbal signals. That takes abstract thinking. And if you can see an object, that is with concrete thinking, but if you can imagine what's over behind the object that you can't see, that's abstract thinking. Or if you know what this is here and you see this, but in your mind, you don't even have to turn it around, but in the mind, you know what this side is going to look like. That's abstract thinking. And so that develops over time. And we're going to preach a little bit tonight about some abstract thinking. Some things that are not real. Some things that could have been, but for some reason they will never be. These are things that are exemplified all throughout the Bible, and they may be things in our own lives and things which all of us will never experience. We will never have them. These things will never come into existence for whatever reason. All of our lives, we have things that will never be. Never be. Think with me tonight of the children of Israel. God had brought them out of Egypt, delivered them from slavery. He promised them a land flowing with milk and honey, but it was because of their unbelief. Because of unbelief, that generation never received the promise. And for that generation, the promised land was something that would never be. It was meant to be. God had set it up. God had promised it. He had prepared them. He had delivered it into their hands. It was to be theirs. But because of their unbelief, it was something that would never be. You see, the spies, all except for two, brought back an evil report. They focused more on the giants than on the ability of their God to defeat the giant. Their evil report focused more on obstacles than on the miracles that God had been doing for them nonstop after they had left Egypt. And because of their unbelief, now they don't experience what God had promised them, and so they're just wandering around in the wilderness, literally just killing time and waiting for that whole generation to die off. What was it that destroyed them? What was it that killed them there in the wilderness? Was it the harsh climate of that land? Was it lack of water and food? Was it their enemies? Was it the Hivites or the Jebusites or some other group? No, it wasn't any of those things that destroyed them. God had provided for them. God had protected them and delivered them from their enemies. But what destroyed them was unbelief. That's what killed them. That's what stopped the blessings in their life. That's what finished that whole generation off and caused something to never be in their lives. Unbelief. The sin of unbelief. We're talking about some things here tonight that will never be. Don't let unbelief rob you of the promises that God has for you. Come on, there's some of you here tonight that you have had some promises from God over the years. And there may be some of you elders, it's been a long time, it's been many years, but there has been some terrific promises from God, and some of them have come true, but you're still waiting on some of them to come to pass. Don't let unbelief rob you of the promises of God. It may not seem possible. It may not seem like everything is coming together at all. It may seem like the promise does not fit your current situation. But with God, all things are possible. You keep on believing. You keep speaking faith. You keep encouraged. Because I tell you, God is able. Do not let the promise of God be robbed from you because of unbelief. Don't let it turn into something that will never happen. Recently, I preached about the prophecy of Elisha, which promised a city that was surrounded by the Syrian army that the next day they would have all the flour and all the barley that they wanted. This was coming after they had no food. And tragically, 2 Kings chapter 7 records the story of one woman even killing her baby because they were so starving. But the prophecy of Elisha gave, it proclaimed that in one day things were going to be different. And one of the king's lords made fun of that prophecy, and with his unbelief he sealed his own fate. And as Elisha told him, he said, "You will see it with your eyes, with your own eyes you're going to see it, but you will not eat of it yourself." And that's when God used four lepers caught between the Syrians and outside the city to make a sound of a mighty army of chariots and horses, which caused the Syrians to run for their lives. And when the city found out of what was out there in store for them, the people rushed out to get all of the food that they wanted. And that Lord was standing in the gate of the city, and the people trampled him as they went by. And he died. What caused those things to never be in his life? It wasn't the Syrian army. It wasn't the lepers. It was not even the people in the city who ran over him on their way to their miracle. What caused those things to never be in his life? It was his unbelief. Words of doubt and fear and negativity, they have a way of catching up with us. They have a way of following us around. That Lord said, "It'll never happen. It'll never happen." And what he spoke was true for him. It never happened for him. We've got to be careful what we speak into existence. Come on, sometimes it's better just to shut your mouth. Sometimes it's just better to say, "I'm not going to say what I'm really thinking right now." Amen. I don't want to speak negativity. I don't want to speak doubt and fear, because our words can become self-fulfilling prophecies. Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." We're going to eat the fruit of our tongue and what we say. In our text today, we find that Jesus came into his own country, Nazareth. He came to his hometown, where people knew him. They'd seen him grow up. They'd seen him from a little child. They remembered all the activity of youth, and I don't know that Jesus ever got in trouble in school, but you know, he's probably the perfect child. But they remembered him from his youth, and they could not believe in the miracles that he would do. They said, "Where does he get his wisdom? Where does he get his miracle power. After all, this is just the carpenter's son. We know him. We know his mother Mary. We know his brothers and his sisters. Where did he learn all these things? He's nobody special. He's just one of us. We know him. He's just the carpenter's son. And Jesus said, a prophet is not honored in his hometown and with his home family. How true. And then Matthew 13, 58, it holds such tragic truth for the people of Nazareth. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You see, Jesus was there. He was in their midst. His presence was there. He wanted to work miracles. They had issues of blood. There was blind eyes. There was deaf ears. There were possessed people, no doubt. There were those who would have had a miracle if they could have just believed, because here was the great Messiah in their presence. God manifested in flesh. And there may have even been someone who the Lord would have raised from the dead, but he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. They were in the presence of the King of Kings, but their unbelief caused things that will never be. They should have been. Almighty God wanted them to be. The potential for them to happen was there. But because of their unbelief, there was a man in Nazareth that night that he stayed lame that day. There was a little girl who went to bed that night still deaf in her ears. There was a young mother who had an issue of blood, and she still had it when Jesus left. And there was some parent that were beside themselves because their child was possessed with the devil, but when he left, he was still possessed. It could have been. It should have been. Jesus wanted to do it, to do all of that and more, but because of their unbelief, those things will never be. We have to decide, are we going to be driven by faith or by fear? What is going to drive us through life? What is going to motivate us in life? Is it going to be faith or is it going to be fear? Are we going to stand by faith? Come on, are we going to stand by faith, or will we listen to the voices of doubt and unbelief? I tell you, if you give place to fear, if you give an inch to fear, it'll take a mile. If you give a little place to fear, it'll take so much more. Little fears turn into big fears. Someone who lives a life full of fear, they live a life on the verge of insanity. Because there's so much to be fearful for. There's always something else to be afraid of. The new problem that's around the corner and some kind of sickness and another trial and something else that could go wrong. Fear produces more fear. And it causes things which are the will of God to happen, but they will never be. Why didn't you take that risk? Why didn't you step out in faith? Why didn't you start that business? Why didn't you walk through that open door? Why didn't you invite that person to church? Why didn't you come to the altar? Why didn't you respond in worship? Because we were fearful. Why didn't you apply for that job? Why didn't you go back to school? Why didn't you go for that dream? Because we were fearful. And fear interrupts what could have been and produces things that will never be. Think with me of that person that you feel that little nudge at your heart to go and reach out to and make some kind of conversation with them. And you feel like maybe you need to invite them to church or you ought to tell something about the Lord. And you just know that something inside you, I've got to make a connection with that person. But, it's uncomfortable. And so fear takes hold. And instead of doing it, we go our way. What could have been? Who knows what could have been? It could have been that they were desperately searching for an answer, for someone to bring them hope. And they may look like they have it all together on the outside, but inside they are falling apart. And they look at your life and they wish that they could be like you. And they wish they could have the peace that they see emanating from your life because of the Holy Ghost. But they don't know how to ask you. They don't know how to approach that. And so inwardly they are begging for God to reach for them out to them through you. And if you would have, if you had have just said, hello, how is your day? And there would have been a connection made there, and you could have taught them a Bible study, and maybe they'd been filled with the Holy Ghost, and their family would have come to know the Lord, and God would have put their marriage back together again, and their own family would have started a Bible study that may have grown into a daughter church someday. What could have been? Oh, Pastor, I don't know about that. What do you mean? You don't think God can do it? I want to tell you, God is wanting to do that kind of work, and He is going to use people to do it. What is it that God has looked at your life and said, I want to do this through them. I want to move that way through them. I want to provide that miracle for them. But because of unbelief, it's something that will never be. How many people are not in the church today? Their children are hooked on drugs. They're broken and confused and hurting. It wasn't meant to be that way. But because of unbelief and because of fear, somebody held back. Help us, Lord. You don't get these little urges to talk to people just by accident. It's not the devil, that's for sure. If you feel it, you need to act on that. Because God wants you to win them. He wants the hope that you have found. He wants to share that with their life, for that love of Jesus Christ to rub off on them. Our life is to be a city that's set on a hill that shines the light of Jesus Christ all around. We're all either driven by faith or we're driven by fear. Fear causes things that will never be. But faith is expectation of something. It hasn't come to pass yet, but I'm expecting it. I'm looking for it to happen at any moment. Faith is a belief in something that we can't see yet and we can't touch it yet. It moves beyond concrete thinking. Sometimes with God, we want to say, well, I've got to have concrete evidence, and I've got to see it all laid out in front of me, and I've got to be able to touch it and feel it and smell it, and I've got to have it right here. But God says, no, I want you to move beyond that, because that's childish thinking. Come on, somebody here today, God is calling you to be a mature Christian and to operate in a realm of faith that moves beyond concrete thinking. You've not even imagined everything that God wants to do through you. You've not even imagined the miracles that God is saying, come on, just pray the prayer because I'm ready to do it. Come on, I'm telling somebody here, you need to start praying bigger prayers. What you're praying right now, it's not big enough. It doesn't match the power that God is waiting to pour out in your life. Hallelujah. We've got to move beyond concrete thinking in the kingdom of God to a place where it's abstract thinking. It's beyond what we can just see and what's before us, but it's something that it has never been, but we're expecting it by faith. Faith is the belief in something that can't be seen or touched yet. But those who live by faith, they will reap the reward of faith. What's the reward of faith? The reward of faith is when we believed in something and it comes to pass. That's the reward of faith. Hallelujah. To see it come to pass, to take part in it, to experience it. It wasn't there when we first started believing for it. It hadn't happened yet, but we had faith that it would. And now we get to realize it and we get to have it happen in our lives. What a reward that is. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Caleb, it's good to see you back there tonight. Come in from work. I appreciate you coming on into church. Amen. I remember when Caleb and I first got connected, and we started a Bible study, and we got together and just went through the Word of God and spent time together and talked and visited and developed a relationship, and he he had been in the church before, and things had happened, and got out of the church, but knew he needed to get back in. And I want to tell you, God's brought Brother Cable a long ways. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. What a rewarding experience to look back and see all those times we'd meet together in a Bible study, and you know, sometimes we look back at ourselves and we can't even recognize ourselves because God's brought us so far. But oh, what a reward of faith. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother Caleb, I want to tell you, the enemy wanted what you're experiencing right now to be something that would never be. He was wanting to snuff it out at the start. He was wanting to destroy it. But because you had faith and you kept coming and you kept getting up. Come on, just keep getting up sometimes. Hallelujah. And now we have the reward of faith. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't mean to embarrass anybody tonight, but Brother Greg, I love you, man. We appreciate this family. I had one of those moments a couple weeks ago. I think it was, I don't know if it was on a Sunday or a Wednesday, but, you know, Jessica, she knew that everybody needed to be baptized, so we baptized their family and talked to Greg and said, hey, let's have a Bible study. And so we started a Bible study with their family and just started getting together and talking, and it was about 75% talk and about 25% Bible study, and we had a good time. But and then you see growth, and you see things starting to happen. And I don't know who all it was. I think Sister Ash and some other people were praying with Greg one day, and he received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. And there was a service a couple weeks ago that I don't remember what it was, but there was a divine move of the Spirit of God. And I looked down, Greg, he's crying out to the Lord. And this was something that he didn't learn out in the world, folks, but there was a hunger inside of him. That's a reward of faith. Praise the Lord. That's a reward of faith. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Come on, people. You might be working with somebody that you think, oh, they'll never be in church. They'll never want the Holy Ghost. They'll never want to be baptized. Don't let it be something that will never be. You get rid of unbelief and you say, no, by faith, they're going to be saved. By faith, they're going to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. By faith, we're going to see it happen. Come on. You need to see it in your mind's eye. You need to see them around the front in the altar with hands lifted up and tears streaming down their cheeks. You need to see them going down in water in the name of Jesus Christ. You need to see their family sitting on these pews worshiping and praising God. Hallelujah. There is so much more that God is wanting to do, but somebody's got to have faith for it. Hallelujah. Let me tell you about a word that I don't believe it's used in heaven. I really don't. I don't think this word is used in heaven. Realistic. Realistic. Well, that's not realistic. Do you know who they are? Do you know where they've been? Do you know all of their problems? That's just not realistic to think that they could come into the church and be a leader and a soul winner and a preacher. That's just not realistic. I don't think that word's used in heaven. Great leaders, great achievers, they're seldom realistic. They're seldom realistic. People who are mightily used in the spiritual gifts, they don't really excel in the level of being realistic. Because if so, they wouldn't pray the prayer of faith. If so, they wouldn't believe for the miracle. If so, they wouldn't give the interpretation of tongues. Come on. Sometimes we're so realistic that we cause things that will never be. Come on. We've got to learn that we've got to ignore the negative. And don't ever tell a young person something can't be done. You don't know, but maybe God has been waiting for centuries for somebody to come along that thinks, well, you know what? I'm going to find out a way to do it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Reason, it never makes room for miracles. But faith releases miracles. How many things will never be because someone quit working just a little too soon? They quit praying just a little before the miracle came through. They gave up right at the time that the open door was about to come. How many cures for diseases? How many people gave up too soon in business? What is the difference? Come on, what is the difference in those that just keep on trucking along and those that give up? I believe it's faith. I believe it's faith. Come on, we've got to have faith today. We're serving a God that is able to do anything. There is nothing too hard for Him, and He wants to use people to do His work and to spread the gospel and to build His kingdom. Come on, folks, do not let your life be something that creates things that will never be, but let it create faith, and let's see the miracles of God. Would you stand with me tonight? The things that will never be. Sadly, that list gets longer and longer every day. The things that will never be. Because all around the world, there's people that are being controlled by fear and doubt and unbelief. Even apostolic people that have never learned to unleash the power of faith. And miracles that God wants to do, and lives that God wants them to reach, jobs that He wants them to have, open doors that He set before them, financial miracles. Financial blessings that will never be because of unbelief. Tonight, I just hope that we can pause that list. There's some things that I believe God wants you to see that will blow your mind. This church, I believe it. There's been prophecies about this church. There's been prophecies about this city. Amen. People had dreams. People have woke up and sat up on their deathbed and given prophecies about this church. I'll just go ahead and say it. There was an elderly lady woke up on her deathbed and started speaking prophecies about what God's going to do for this church, spoke them to her children, and those children are no longer here. For their life, it could be that that's something that will never be. That burdens me. What is it? What are the prophecies for our life? What are the prophecies for your family? What are the promises that God has given? The enemy's saying, oh, it can never happen. Oh, it's too much for God to do that. But I want to tell you, faith, it makes room for miracles. It releases the supernatural. Praise the Lord. Faith doesn't always make sense. I feel like we've been in an atmosphere of the last few services and the last few weeks that God's saying there's some miracles that are right here, but somebody has to have enough faith to step out of their comfort zone. Somebody's got to have enough faith to speak a word. Somebody's got to have enough faith to do something out of the ordinary to break through this. It might be a young person. It might be a child. It might be an adult. It might be a backslider that doesn't They're not even here right now, but God brings them back. I don't know what the key is, but somebody, I want to tell you, God has miracles for you. He's looking for you to release your faith, and He's going to back it up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Lord, I pray that You would touch us. I pray that You would help us here tonight. Lord, I thank You for the promises that You have given us. I thank You for the prophecies that have gone forth. I thank You for the miracles, Lord, that are in the waiting. I thank You for the doors that You are opening. I thank You, Lord, for the things You're bringing to pass. I thank You for the new people that You're bringing into the house of the Lord. I thank You, Lord, for Your kingdom that is going forward and moving forward. I thank You, Lord, for victory. I thank You for revival. I thank You, Lord, for Your blessings upon this church. God, You know the things that You have designed for us. I pray, Lord, that You would help us not to be driven by fear and doubt and unbelief. But God, I pray that You would help us to be driven by faith in Jesus' name. That we would receive those promises, that we'd receive those miracles, that we would move forward in the dimension of the supernatural. God, do not let fear hold us back. Do not let unbelief hold us back. But I pray that You would set us on fire, God, that we would speak with boldness, that we would pray prayers that are bigger than what we can figure out ourselves, God. Help us to move beyond concrete thinking into the realm that we don't understand at all, but we have faith and we expect that it's going to happen. We praise You for what You're going to do in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Come on, is there somebody that you need a miracle tonight and you just start thanking the Lord for it by faith right now? Come on, is there somebody you're believing God to help you save somebody and teach a Bible study and you just start thanking the Lord for it by faith right now? In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank You by faith. I'm expecting to see it happen. I'm believing for it, Lord. It may not look like it right now, but it's going to come to pass in the name of Jesus. I claim it by faith. I speak it by faith. Hallelujah, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that You would increase our faith here tonight. Increase our faith here tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, let it be, I pray. Let it be, I pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, somebody, just thank the Lord for it. Come on, that's it. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for the miracle. Thank You, Lord, for the new job. Thank You, Lord, for the financial blessing. Thank You, Lord, for the open door. Thank You, Lord, for the healing in my body. Thank You, Lord, for the touch in my mind. Hallelujah. Happen. Yes, a miracle can happen in this place. Oh, a miracle can happen. Oh, a miracle can happen. A miracle can happen in this place. A miracle can happen. A miracle can happen. A miracle can happen in this place. Oh, with Jesus it will happen.
with Jesus it will happen. Oh, with Jesus it will happen in this place. Yes, with Jesus it will happen. With Jesus it will happen. Oh, with Jesus it will happen in this place. Yes, with Jesus it will happen. Oh, with Jesus it will happen. With Jesus it will happen in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. If you're here tonight and you need a miracle, if you need a miracle, if you need a specific healing in your body from a disease or a sickness, I want you to come just gather around here in this altar area. We're going to believe with you by faith in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We're going to sing this, and I want you to believe it could be that just here tonight, God is saying, I want to do it. I want to do it. I just need someone to step out in faith. I need someone to believe me for it. I need somebody to ask me for it. I need somebody to pray the prayer tonight. Come on. If you need a miracle tonight, we're going to pray for you. I want our ministers to come and help us pray, and we're going to believe with you tonight. Amen. There's some things that the enemy wants to never be. But if you will step out in faith, I believe that God wants to do it here in this place. Hallelujah. Oh, a miracle can happen. A miracle can happen. A miracle can happen in this place. A miracle can happen. Yeah.